Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, thank you DJ Q for bringing us back from the break. He's absolutely right, I am Jay Plummer, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network. That's www.golfnewsnet.com. And if you had a / radio, that's where you can listen to all of our radio programs, not just mine, but the 19th Hole Golf Show and a bunch of other terrific shows. You can read all the articles by these fine writers. And Jay's Place is brought to you by JB's Best. It is the tastiest, the boldest, the freshest new hot sauce out there on the market. It's on every table in the Deep South. And it should be on yours when it says JB's, it's the best. All right, so we have a big thank you to Ryan Ballengee, our publisher, our editor-in-chief, chief muckety-muck and producer at the Golf News Net for coming on and being our first guest. And we are bringing back one of our old favorites. We're going to talk some golf course architecture. We're going to talk some golf innovation. We're going to talk some PGA Tour. We're going back to one of our very favorite people. Give a warm Jay's Place welcome to Steve Snyder. Steve, welcome back to Jay's Place.
Jay, thanks. Thanks for having me back. It's great being with you.
Oh, it's always great to have you on the show. Tell us what you've been up to lately. It's been a few months since we've caught up to you. You've been globetrotting, building courses all over the world, everywhere from Ecuador to Texas and Florida and back.
That's right. Yeah, it's been a busy year and a half or so, busy couple of years, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. We're building a golf course in Texas right now, Dallas, that is, for me, it's a pretty exciting project. It's designed and built for a couple of gentlemen who are very, very avid golfers, and their goal is to bring a world-class facility to Dallas to stimulate, and their goal is to make it where it stimulates people to go out and play golf, but also because playing the golf course, it will make them more competitive on a national and international scale. That's the kind of mission statement of the club. So we are really gearing it up for the elite player, but we're keeping in mind for the, the guy who wants to go, the older player that's been around a long time as well. But it's a pretty interesting project. We are trying to make it sustainable. I'm sorry?
Is it a private course or a public course?
It'll be private. A private players club.
And tell us a little bit about some of the design features that you've put into it.
Well, one of the things we're doing in our industry is really into it right now is sustainability. And we're trying to make this golf course one of the poster childs for sustainability. And what we've done, we've used different type of grass types around the golf course. And it's not only going to give the place a real natural feel, we've integrated a lot of the native prairie grasses into the rough and outer rough, which require very little fertility, very little irrigation. Maintenance is minimal to it. So we've got that. We've got some new innovative grasses that we're putting out. I think the new turf grasses that are being introduced into the market now are so far superior to what we've been playing on, not only from a playability aspect, but from a aesthetic aspect as well, and not only that, from a maintenance aspect. So we're using Northbridge Bermuda in the fairways, which will be one of the first golf courses that has Northbridge Bermuda. It's a very cold tolerant grass, and holds its color better, during the winter months. Then we're using a grass called Tiff Grand for the first cut of rough, and it's the texture of Tiff Grand. Tiff Grand was developed by the University of Florida to be a shade-tolerant Bermuda grass, to be maintained at a high height to cut. But if we treat it properly with the proper amount of water, proper amount of fertilizer, it makes the ideal first rough in that you can find your ball. The higher swing speed person has a real tough time controlling the flight on the golf ball, and the lower swing person, the ball will come out easily and the ball will hit, and they can use the ground to move their ball toward the target. And then, of course, outside of that, we're going to have our buffalo grass, which are native prairie grasses. So I think it's going to look, it's going to have a tremendous look and feel to it.
That tip sounds especially interesting because it'll play harder for the expert player, but reasonably fair for the average player.
We've placed a lot of emphasis on tee locations, you know, really to push the tees back to challenge the elite player, but also for the older player or the less accomplished player, we put a several amount of teeing grounds out there. So they use a teeing ground, they'll be able to play it forward. Because it is a windy site, we've left all the greens open in the front. So if you hit it in the rough and you're a low swing speed player, you can hit it short and use the contours and feed the ball on the green. So it's multi-dimensional approach to how you attack the golf course. It's not a one shot fits all. It's a multi-dimensional approach to how you play the course.
Is this new type of grass, this tip that you're telling us about, is this a step further in the direction of us seeing Southern doping?
Jay, you broke up on me there.
I said, is this new type of grass going to help us see more types of U.S. Opens and PGA Championships being held in the South? Because it used to be we couldn't have PGA Championships and U.S. Opens in the South because of the weather. If it's too hot, the grass would get too stressed out. You know, is this a step in that direction, starting to see we're going to have more stable turf and be able to have more roots in the South?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I think these ultra dwarfs that we have for putting surfaces are far superior to what the warm weather grasses used to be, and they will produce absolutely championship conditions throughout the summer months. They really will.
Now, would your new course be a kind of race that might host a U.S.
or a PGA Championship?
Jay, could you repeat the question, please? You broke up on me.
Yes, will your new course in Dallas be able to host a big tournament like a PGA Championship?
Absolutely. We have the space for spectators. We have the, which is probably the most important aspect of hosting a championship. Outside the rope, we have all the ability to do everything outside the ropes. And then as far as being a stimulating or very, very good test of golf for the most elite players for the most prestigious championships, this will provide the ultimate examination in golf. It really will.
Now, tell us a little bit specifically about some of your favorite holes that you've designed out there. You know, when we finally get to see this great golf course, what are some of the iconic holes?
Well, you know, I think one of the neat features of the property, it's kind of my client calls it the Rose Bowl effect. It, everything slopes from north to south and south to north down to a big lake in the middle of the property, and all the holes rotate around the lake. It might not necessarily interact with the lake from a shot making perspective, but they interact from a visual perspective. So wherever you are in the property, you get certain looks and views of the very dramatic landscape features. It's like having a golf course on the ocean. You're always interacting with the ocean. Well, we've got a blend of golf holes there. We've got a tremendous blend of very long, challenging, par four holes and a nice blend of short, challenging par four holes as well. For example, we've got the fifth and sixth holes, which are back-to-back short par fours. But they do require a very precise drive and a very precise approach shot into the green. And the third hole, there's a very long par four in the 530-yard range, and it requires a demanding tee shot followed by a very precise mid-iron shot. So we've got that type of blend throughout the golf course.
Now, you've been known because you have looked towards McDonald and Rayner and Banks for some of your design features, but you've also looked to McKenzie for some of your design features. and many of the other great Golden Age architects. If Golden Age architects were to come to your golf course and play it and then come up to you after the round, what do you think they would say would be their favorite feature?
You know, that's an interesting question, because they worked with a whole different set of guidelines and parameters that we are working with today. You know, we're working with different type of players, different type of clientele. We're working with bigger, stronger people. There's so much more knowledge about how to swing a golf club. Our golf clubs are more stable. The golf balls are more stable. They're allowed, you know, you're allowed to propel, hit the golf ball so much further and so much straighter in those days. And I can only answer that question by referring back to what Donald Ross did. Donald Ross responded to all of the innovations of the time. And you think back to 1920, back in 1920, the greens were mowed at a 3/4 inch height of cut. And then they introduced a new mower that would allowed the greens to be cut just below a half inch. Today we mow greens at a 10th of an inch. So that happened. And then in 1929, they introduced steel shafted clubs onto the market, which allowed the golf balls to be, allowed people, elite players to hit the ball 30 to 40 yards further. And then in 1932, Gene Saracen invented the sand wedge, which allowed people to hit a lob shot around the greens and out of the bunkers. And then about that time, they figured out that they could put tubes underneath the ground and they could pump water through those tubes and irrigate putting surfaces. So Donald Ross changed Pinehurst number 2 from what he did in the 20s, and he rerouted it, he changed it, he made it 700 yards longer. He made a 7,000-yard golf course in 1935 in preparation for the 1935 PGA Championship. He elevated the greens, the putting surfaces, and he narrowed the fairways, all in response to the modern-day equipment and technology. So he changed
them. Also, at the time, changed them from sand greens, because they used to be all sand-based.
They were all sand, and then they were able, and they were flat on the ground. Then they were able to figure out how to pump water under the ground to get water to the greens, so they could put grass on the greens. And with the sand wedge, they elevated the greens to allow for the flop shot up onto those greens back, you know, the putting surfaces back then. So what the architects did back then that made so pleasant, they created shapes and patterns that led your eye to the target. I think Seth Rayner was brilliant at it, because he did geometric shapes that when your eye went around the landscape, your eye settled on the target. So those old architects, to answer your question, those old architects would come back, they would apply the same basic design principles as far as moving your eye around the property, but they would very much adapt to the modern day technology that we have with the grasses, clubs, players, and things of that nature.
So getting back to the question is, what would they like the most about your work in Dallas?
Back then they were very much into shot making, creating shots, creating a stimulating challenge for an elite player. You look at Wingfoot, you look at Pinehurst number 2, Augusta National back in the days, one of my favorites, Royal Melbourne. They were all very challenging shot making courses for elite players. And I think that's what they would respond to the most in Dallas.
Now, that is certainly true also of one of the courses that defines your career that everybody loves and is looking forward to seeing again now that you're doing a little touch-up work there, and that's Old Memorial in Florida. So why don't you bring us up to date on everything that's been happening at Old Memorial?
Yeah, well, we that was an exciting project. We built that for the founders of Outback Steakhouse, who themselves are avid golfers. And we built a nice course in my hometown, Tampa. I live just outside of Tampa. And last year we went in and shut the course down to introduce the modern grasses to the golf course. They're more sustainable, and the golf ball reacts differently to them. We went in and addressed all of the features of the course, the bunkers, the mounds, and the contours and things like that, to respond to the modern day, you know, grasses. And just to, you know, since we built that course 20 years ago, new sands have been introduced, and new methods of bunker construction has been introduced. So we introduced the new sands into the bunkers and, the new methods of construction as far as getting them to drain better and things like that. And in the meantime, I think we made a much more aesthetically pleasing golf course. The way we created the shapes and patterns kind of lead your eye around to the target areas a little better. So we're putting the finishing touches up this summer with some other plant material and native plant material, and underbrushing some areas, and we're looking forward to the season, which will start in October.
One of the things that stood out to me about the golf course was how much of a thinking man's course it was and how much length and precision it required for an elite player to be able to score well. You have a lot of those little hidden rampways, you know, in the fairway where if you catch it just right off the tee, you're really going to catapult forward. And a lot of other places, great movement in the earth where if you go the wrong way or hit a bad shot, you're going to be, you know, even further away from the hole. So talk to us a bit about how you incorporated the ground game into your design at Old Memorial.
Well, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, please, tell us about the ground game there.
Jay, that was very observant that you made that comment. That Old Memorial is all about the ground, and it's an interesting story. I actually, when the Outback guys came to me and said they wanted to build a golf course, I said, well, in Tampa, we do not have good topography, but we've got to find a site with good soil, good sandy soil. And with good soil and the wind that we have during the golfing season, which is the wintertime down there, we can produce an interesting golf course by designing it so the ball will react a certain way when it hits the ground. And so at Old Memorial, we have, you know, in the wintertime, we've got a pretty nice breeze almost all day, every day. Not overly hard, but a nice breeze makes for ideal playing conditions. And we routed the golf course so every hole changes direction on the compass from the previous hole, so the wind's always battling with you or against you. But we also produce a lot of little slopes and contours in the landing areas, and around the target, around the cutting surfaces. So depending on where the wind was, where the hole location is, depending on your stance or lie in the fairway, will dictate the type of shot, the type of options that you have into the, you know, for your pro shot. So we really thought long and hard about that, and we considered all the different wind conditions, all the different hole locations, all the different stances and lies you'd have in the fairways, to really make the player not only hit a good shot, but hit the right shot for the occasion.
And it seems as though elite players across the country, especially the great amateur players, everybody from Walker Cuppers right on down to, you know, people playing in the Crump and the Travis, they all love Old Memorial, even though it's only a few years old. They speak of it in the same holy whispers as a lot of the great classic clubs that they tour around and play. It's quite the feather in your cap to be able to be shortlisted like that with players who are so well-traveled and so knowledgeable about golf.
Well, that's a nice compliment. I appreciate you say that. It is a players club, and people enjoy going there kind of for the simple reason it creates a stimulating golf experience for them, and they know if they can play good there, they can just about play good anywhere.
And no matter what happens, even if you play lousy and drove all through the night to get there, there's a jacuzzi for you.
That's right. That's right.
And, yeah. And an entire dining hall in the locker room. It's an impressive place. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk some more with Steve about his designs down in Ecuador and about some of the other initiatives he's working on. I'm Jay Flummel. You're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.